It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Last weekend, I was in Las Vegas for the amazing meeting of the James Randi Educational Foundation, and one of the people who got up on stage to speak and give a terrific presentation was my next guest. His name is Timothy Caulfield. He's a professor of health, law, and policy at the University of Alberta, and the author of a book called Is Gwyneth Paltrow Wrong About Everything? How the Famous Sell Us Elixirs of Health and Beauty and Happiness. And after his presentation, I went right up to him and said, Tim, that was great. You got to come on my show. And so here he is. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great.
I understand you have a St. Louis connection.
I do. My mom grew up in Clayton.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So I've never been there, though, believe it or not, but I've heard a lot about it. So I feel like I've got a little bit of history.
Well, we're even. I've never been to Alberta.
So we'll have to fix both of those issues.
All right, fine. I'll stay at your place. You stay at my place. We'll have like an Airbnb thing.
Perfect.
The book came out a few months ago, right about the same time that Gwyneth Paltrow was making some really silly news again, right?
That's exactly right. Gwyneth was talking about steaming her vagina and how valuable, from a health perspective, that practice is supposed to be, which, of course, is completely absurd. And I thought, hey, how perfect is this, Gwyneth? You are illustrating why this book on the impact of celebrity culture is needed.
Now, do you know in the last few months since she made that announcement and you've been doing publicity for the book whether women have ever followed her advice on that and steamed their own vaginas?
So, you know, that's a great question. And I think the answer is, you know, I don't have any stats on it. I don't have any hard science on it. But, you know, just anecdotally, I got emails on both sides of that. You know, women saying, well, you know, it's beneficial and, you know, shouldn't slam her for it. But in general, that recommendation was pretty widely mocked. But, you know, other, and I always make this point when I'm talking about, there's a lot of other celebrity recommendations that clearly have gained a lot of social traction, and I don't think would exist but for the advice that celebrities provide, or even just celebrities talking about these practices. And, you know, detoxing is a great example of it, you know, cleanses, the juice cleanse, you know, juicing in general. You know, I could go on and on. A lot of these things wouldn't exist but for the celebrity universe talking about them.
In fact, at the when you talked about this at TAM last weekend, you showed a slide of various book covers of actual published books that said you could do, what was it, a 6-month cleanse? What was the time frame?
Yeah, you know, and I could have gone back further because there's literally thousands of books on detoxing and cleansing, but I have it going, you know, 2 years to 1 day to detox, right? So there's a book for every degree of urgency when it comes to detoxing, and I love the topic of detoxing because, you know, there really is no evidence. We don't have to equivocate here, right? You don't have to pull their punches. There's no evidence that you need to detox, and there's no evidence that these regimens and these diets and these gimmicks will actually facilitate detoxing. So, you know, it's kind of bunk on several levels.
Have you ever done a cleanse?
Oh, of course I have. I went on the Gwyneth Paltrow cleanse. I actually went to Hollywood and met with her doctor, and I'm putting air quotes there.
Wait, Tim, are you saying that this person is not actually a medical doctor?
No. I'm glad you clarified that. He is a doctor, but whether, you know, he is Gwyneth's actual sort of clinical doctor, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
You know, but she does, you know, she does dedicate, you know, her last book to him, among many other people. And she talks about Dr. Younger a lot. And he was a really nice guy, and he seems to believe it. He doesn't seem like a huckster, but you know, he was very generous with his time, and he told me what I needed to do to go on this cleanse. And I'll tell you, Paul, it was miserable. It was 3 weeks of hell. There was no coffee. There was almost felt like there was no calories. It's really a crash diet. And the goal is allegedly to, you know, detoxify your body, reset your body, and you're supposed to be healthier as a result of it. You're supposed to, of course, lose weight and keep the weight off. All these ridiculous things, and there's just no evidence to support any of it.
How did you feel?
Well, you know, that's interesting because I felt like crap. My kids will back that up. I was really, really grumpy all of the time. I was a real miserable bastard. But the coffee, no coffee might have been a big part of that story. But you know, there's an interesting aspect to that because some people feel great when they do it. They get a little buzz from it. And you do feel like you've accomplished something when you finish it. And I think that's part of the scam, right?
No, I think when you finish it, you've accomplished it and you go, I can eat food again.
Yeah, you go have a cup of coffee and a Snickers bar.
Oh, believe me, I was counting the minutes to my next first coffee. But I do think there is this mountain, you know, summited, you know, you've done the marathon and you really feel like you've achieved something because it is tough, right? It's like holding your breath for a long time. And so I think that's part of the buzz. I think that's part of the sell and so you feel like you've accomplished this and you can go back to eating crap.
Okay. So we know scientifically there's no evidence for it. Therefore it's a fraud, but is it a harmful fraud?
You know, that's a great question also, and I think it is, and for the following reasons. First of all, it's sort of the marketing of this extreme strategy for weight loss. And let's be honest, that's the way most people do it. You know, they may say it's for other reasons, and it may be part of a more holistic, you know, way of living, but it really is a weight loss strategy. And even the marketers of the clean cleanses, which what I went on said, admitted that 80% of their clients want to lose weight. So it's an extreme strategy for losing weight, and it's not a good way to lose weight because the only way to successfully keep weight off, and it's tough to keep weight off if you look at the data, is to find a lifestyle you can maintain forever, right? Some kind of livable lifestyle, and no one can, you know, live off of lemon juice and water forever, right? So and I also don't like the message behind it, right, that you have to adopt extreme strategy. Because it really is all about this rapid weight loss. It's about looking good in your bikini. It's about losing weight for a particular event, when really it should be about losing weight for health and losing weight to feel better about yourself.
So do we blame Gwyneth particularly? Is she the one who made the detoxification, the cleanse, popular in America?
Well, I don't think we can just blame Gwyneth. And then, to be honest with you, the book really isn't just about Gwyneth.
Oh, I know. We're going to get to some others in a moment here.
But it's you're right. I mean, it's about celebrity culture more broadly. And I actually don't even blame celebrities, right? Because they are under tremendous pressure themselves to look good, right? Probably more pressure than any of us to continue looking young, to be skinny. So they're under this tremendous pressure. And oftentimes they're just talking about the extreme strategies that they use because of that pressure. So I don't think we really need to blame them. It's obviously a complex relationship between celebrity culture and the general public. But people like Gwyneth, who are, you know, they are making these claims, right? It's part of their brand. I do think we can hold them to a standard, and that standard should be science.
As Paul Harris talking with Tim Caulfield, the book is called Is Gwyneth Paltrow Wrong About Everything? About celebrity culture and science clashing. You also talk in the book about celebrities like Katy Perry, who have an impact on how people act because either they want to be like her or they see her as some kind of a role model, and she has such a huge following. How many Twitter followers does she have?
Well, last time I looked, which wasn't that long ago, I'm embarrassed to say, it was about 72 million.
I love Katy Perry.
Yeah, but
I took my daughter to see Katy Perry, but I actually took my daughter so I could see Katy Perry.
I bet it was a great show.
Oh, it was tremendous.
She's a wonderful entertainer. But
did you make any advice about provide any advice about vitamins and supplements during the show?
No, I didn't, but I did get caught videotaping. Got in trouble for that.
But Katy Perry's really into vitamins and supplements and other pseudoscience, right?
That's exactly right. She's always talking about all the supplements and vitamins that she takes. She lives a vitamin life, as she says. And it's allegedly, and again, this is from the celebrity media, she takes 26 a day. And there's absolutely no evidence that we need to do that. None at all, right? But because she talks about it, it gets out into the popular culture universe. And it makes it seem like it is a reasonable way to live and to try to live a healthy lifestyle, even though there's no evidence to support it.
Well, you know what's bad about that is Katy Perry is such a big influence on younger girls.
Yes.
Tweens and teens.
Absolutely.
And everything else.
They follow her on Twitter. They see her say something about, here's my bag of supplements, and it's a gigantic bag of pills, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And you're exactly right about the Twitter. There's a little bit of science to back this up. That it creates this parasocial relationship, and you kind of feel like Katie's talking to you, right? She's talking about her supplements, and that kind of increases the power that celebrity culture has over all of us.
Now, you mentioned celebrity media. I'm guessing that in researching all of these people, you had to dive into the world of People and Us and the National Enquirer and all the rest of those, not just the online social media, but the printed matter that is there as well, which was probably not a part of your daily routine before you took on this project.
You're exactly right. I did have to dive in. Now here's a confession. I love popular culture. So it's one of the reasons I wanted to write the book. And I actually thought it would be really, really fun. So I did, I read People magazine, every single People magazine for a year, cover to cover. I had to read it cover to cover. I had to force myself to read the ads and everything. And holy cow, it became tedious really, really fast. I thought it would be kind of fun, you know, a fun way to end the day and stuff. But it's the same magazine over and over again, the same stories over and over again about weight loss, about celebrities with their kids, about pregnant celebrities losing weight after the baby, on and on. It's the same thing over and over and again, all pushing this celebrity lifestyle on us.
Wow. Now, I do have to ask about a celebrity who I think did something good by going public with a story of something that she did, which most people would not have known about, and that is when Angelina Jolie came forth and said that she had had a mastectomy for preventative reasons.
So that's a great story, and I love talking about the Jolie story. In fact, we've done some empirical research on this ourselves, published a study looking at how popular press represented this. And the reason I like the Jolie story is you're exactly right. Her two op-eds in the New York Times were very thoughtful, and she wasn't really telling women what to do, right? She was just basically describing her own experience and her own thought processes. But you know that, it has had a huge impact. It's been called the Jolie effect. And it's still up in the air whether that's good or bad. Did it increase anxiety about cancer? You know, women, in, at least in some circumstances, greatly overestimate their risk of breast cancer. Did it increase cancer screening when perhaps it may not be necessary? Now, the benefits of cancer screening are very debated. You know, you've seen the debates around mammograms, right? The utility and effectiveness of mammograms. Yep. So there, I think it's a great example because it was done at the best of intentions. It was done, I think, thoughtfully. But despite that, it still had a very complex impact on society, some good, some bad.
But the difference between what she did and what some of these other celebrities do is there was actual science behind what she had to do to herself because of this gene, this BRCA1 gene, that there's a history in her family. So it wasn't just, okay, I've decided I'm going to steam my breasts, you know, or something silly like that.
That's right. I mean, this is a real public health issue. This is a real science issue.
Right.
But our own research found that even the elite press didn't represent the fact that her situation was very, very rare. Like, she has a very, sort of very rare risk profile.
Right.
And it made it sound like this is something that every woman perhaps should be doing and every woman should be concerned about, which isn't necessarily the case.
All right. We mentioned that you took the cleanse and you took the People magazine dive, but you also did something that you write about in the book called skin resurfacing. What and why would you do that?
So what I did is, you know, because obviously a huge part of celebrity culture is the whole beauty industry, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought I should dive into that part of the story too. So I went to a celebrity spa and I used skin products for almost a whole year. I actually did it longer than I initially intended. And prior to that, I mean, you guys, I did nothing, right? I just used soap and water on my face.
Because you're a guy.
I'm a guy. I don't even use shaving cream. I just, you know, use a little bit of soap and a disposable razor. But I took care of my skin like you wouldn't believe for a year. And I did it before and after. I went to a dermatologist before and a dermatologist after, and they used this fancy machine to assess the quality of my skin. Do you think there was any difference?
No.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, right? No difference. In fact, on some metrics, I got worse over the year. And this is relative to my age, so it's not just the fact that I aged over a year. Look, you know, you want to take care of your skin, you don't smoke, you stay out of the sun, you have good genes, so pick your parents. You get a good night's sleep and you exercise. I mean, that's what you do to have good skin, and everything else, almost everything else is bunk.
You realize there's a multi-billion-dollar industry, big beauty out there, that wants to sell everybody more and more skin products and soaps, and I can't tell you how many different shampoos my wife has in our bathroom. It's amazing.
It's absolutely incredible. I call it the Beeb, and that's not after Justin Bieber, although that's a nice coincidence. The beauty industry efficacy bias, right? Because there's, you know, they want to sell you this stuff. The research is almost always done by the industry. The magazines aren't going to be critical of it, right? Because they're paying to have an ad in the magazine, et cetera, et cetera. There's all these forces on one side, and there are a lot of forces on the other side. So, yeah, the beauty industry efficacy bias.
Did you get any flack from any of the celebrities you mentioned in the book? I mean, you go after Simon Cowell, for instance, and I would think he'd be the kind of guy who would bite back.
You know, I haven't. It's funny. Someone asked me that today also. I haven't really heard from any of them. And I interviewed, had a very odd exchange with Pamela Anderson, who I thought was great. And I haven't heard from any of them. But I guess, you know, what's the upside, right? I mean, hopefully the science speaks for itself. And I'm quite gentle. It's supposed to be a fun ride, right? And not necessarily a cynical ride.
Tim, why do you think there are so few effective spokespeople for science?
You know, that is also a great question. And I sense, I'm hoping it's starting to change a little bit. You know, the glass is half full. You know, you saw this huge pushback against anti-vaccination over the last year, which I think is different than we've seen in the past. You've seen a little bit of a pushback against people like Dr. Oz, which I think is nice, and the Food Babe, which is nice. So that, I think that's a little bit of a shift that we've seen, but people don't, you know, people want simple answers, right? And they want some kind of miraculous story. And often science doesn't necessarily provide that. But look, I'm a science geek, and I think it does provide those answers, and I don't think we need to oversell this. So I'm hopeful that in the future we are going to have those kind of individuals out there. We're going to have these science celebrities. And, you know, things like TAM really help, right? I mean, those kind of big conferences where they bring those people together.
Absolutely. People like you or Bill Nye or Neil deGrasse Tyson who are out there, there just aren't enough of them, and you don't have 72 million Twitter followers.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, people follow celebrities for a reason. It's fun. And look, I'm not trying to say we shouldn't follow celebrity culture at all. In fact, you know, I hope we can put celebrity culture in the place in society it belongs, right? As a source of fun, as a source of entertainment, and even a source of some great art, right? But it's not necessarily, the best source for science information.
Yeah, I just want to go back to one thing because I said before the cleanse didn't hurt you. I need to clarify, that's not really a defense, because it's the same defense that people say about homeopathic remedies. Well, it is just water, and it doesn't have any medical curative properties to it, but you're not getting hurt by doing it. But we know that's false, because there are people who rely on homeopathy instead of actual medicine. And the same thing can be true of people who do need to lose weight, but they're doing it on some wacky celebrity cleanse diet instead of actually changing their diet for the better and getting more exercise and all of those things. All of these bad pseudoscientific ideas that serve as a replacement for what you really need to do, that you were told over and over again your entire life, here's how you lose weight, here's how you get healthy, here are doctors who can help you. When you ignore that and you go for this nonsense, that's dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. That's exactly right. I think one of the most dangerous are the most harmful aspects of celebrity culture. It does exactly what you just described. It distracts us from the simple evidence-based truth. And part of that's because it's hard to sell a lot of products when you talk about, you know, you don't smoke, you get good exercise, you eat lots of fruits and vegetables, you watch your weight, and you get a good night's sleep, and you love someone, and you know what? There's not a lot else you can do. That's it.
Yeah.
How many TV shows can you have on that?
There is not a big culture of big sleep in this country.
But doesn't everybody want to...
I like that, though. Let's start it.
Doesn't everybody want to get the quick fix with no effort?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. They want to get that done.
Everybody is still waiting for the pill.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, where's the 10 pounds off pill?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at, there's one on Dr. Oz every other week. Right?
I know.
I love it.
That's right.
Looks like an alien.
Tim Caulfield is a professor of health law and policy at the University of Alberta. His book is very entertaining and informative as well. It's called Is Gwyneth Paltrow Wrong About Everything? How the Famous Sell Us Elixirs of Health, Beauty, and Happiness. Tim, it was great to meet you, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks very much.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.